2 Corinthians chapter 6. We pray indeed the Lord to bless us around His Word, and there be a word in season to hearts in this meeting. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the end of verse 2. Behold, now is accepted time, and behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's look to the Lord and ask for His help. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou would bless us around the Word. We pray it be a word in season. And Lord, we have to submit ourselves to Thy sovereign workings. There's times we cannot understand them, but we trust God. We pray for help then this morning to preach. We pray indeed that we prove to be a word from God and a message to hearts, to people in this congregation, especially those, Lord, who are not saved, that Thou would touch them and call them and bring them to Christ. We pray You close us in with Thyself and be with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'm glad when we look at the ministry and the life of the Apostle Paul, we can see that he was a man who labored. He labored day and night. And he spared, my friends, no expense in order to bring out the gospel message to people, indeed, that they might be saved. This was burning in his heart. He longed that others would taste and see that the Lord was good. He longed that others would leave their sin and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he traveled near and he traveled far in order to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, in his message, he spoke about the way of salvation. Do you know, dear friends, what a theme he had. What a message he had to preach to people. Remember this, he faced people who were steeped in heathenism. People who were bowed down before idols of stone and of silver. People who never heard the gospel of Christ. And so when he went into different countries and different cities, he had to bring people to this simple, simple lesson. Listen, the way of salvation. And the way of salvation is the way of the cross. And the way of salvation, it's the way of Christ. And he stood before these people and he says to them that he's the only way. There's no other way to heaven. I meet people all the time and in my door-to-door visitation. They say we've all got our own way. Let me ask you this morning in the meeting. You say, no, I've got my own way. I don't need Christ. I don't need Him to save my soul. I can get to heaven in my own steam. I have another way. My friends, there is no other way. There's no other Savior. There's no other one can rescue us. There's no other one can cleanse us from our sin. None but Jesus Christ. And Paul, he went out and he spoke about the way of salvation. Because in Acts chapter 16 and the verse 17, when they followed Paul and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. This is what the demons were saying through this young girl. Oh, see, these men come into the city of Philippi. Do you hear them preaching? Do you hear the message? Do you know what they're doing? They're showing on to us the way of salvation. Just to go over to our mission in Bransford and other campaigns, that's what we're seeking to do. To show people the way. The way to be saved. The way to get everlasting life. The way to heaven. And it is through the Lord Jesus Christ and through Him alone. Oh, Apostle Paul spoke about the way of salvation. And yet he suffered greatly for it. You can read there, we read together about his persecution. He talked about in much patience, verse 4, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, imprisonments. You know, if you're reading this, you think you're reading about the most cruel man that ever walked. He's getting beaten. There's persecutions. He's cast into prison. He's threatened with death. But no, here's a man of God. Here's a man of righteousness. Here's a man who's saved by the grace of God, and he's preaching the gospel, and it's not liked. The gospel today is still not liked. The gospel that's found here in the pages of the scriptures, people's heart is hard against it. They despise it. Oh, I know we're not suffering the same at the moment as the Apostle Paul. We're not. But we're not liked. People may slam the door in your face. People may despise us in our hearts. But the Apostle Paul, he proclaimed the way of salvation with great boldness, despite all the suffering. You see, friends, there's two ways for him. There's a way to go forward and a way of going back. Two choices. Go on or give up. It's always easy to go on. Maybe a child of God this morning suffering trials and troubles and tribulations, you say, oh, I feel like giving up. Dear friends, it's easier to go on. Learn to lean on Jesus. He'll help you through. He'll help you through. He spoke also about the day of salvation. Here he says in this text, in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Of course, he's just not referring to a 24-hour day here in this text. He's talking about the golden age. The gospel age. He's speaking about the gospel age at this time. The day of salvation. I want us to think then about this day of salvation. I want to speak about the creation of this day. This day, like any other, had its origin and beginnings with God. There has never been a day upon the face of this earth that has not been sent by the Lord. The Lord is the creator of the day. And when Apostle Paul speaks about the day of salvation, God made the day. You think of this in relation to our natural day. If you turn to Genesis chapter 1, you will see the creation of the natural day. Genesis chapter 1 and the verse 1. Of course, I think it's amazing how the Lord commences His Word. He leaves people no doubt. The very first thing God tells us about Himself is that He made the world. Isn't that amazing? Well, people today is denying God. People today are saying, well, I believe in evolution. I believe in the Big Bang Theory. Well, the very first thing God tells us in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No argument. Just straight to the point. God done it. And verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now here is the Lord making the first day. And we find that there were two things to make the first day. He says, let there be light. And friends, in a moment there was light. But also it tells us in that passage there was something else. There was darkness. And the darkness God called night. And it tells us then it was the first day. God made the first day with light and with darkness. You see, God made the natural day. Think of the Sabbath day. God has made this day. In Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And it tells us here about the Sabbath day. Now, who made the Sabbath day? The Lord made it. God has set aside one day in seven whereby we can come to the house of the Lord, we can come to praise Him, we can come to worship Him, we can come and give that honor that is due to His name. God created the Sabbath day. It was not the church created it. It was not man that created the Sabbath day. But you see, it was God. God created the Sabbath day. There's another day to do with the Lord as well that He has created. That's Judgment Day. In Acts 7, verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And here's another day, a day of rest, a faithful day. I will say it will be God's final day. God has appointed a day. Who has made the day of judgment? It's God. And that's to sober all of us up, really, in a sense, this morning. We're all going to the judgment. And you're going to the judgment. And I'm going. And the Bible says we should all give an account of ourselves to God, everyone in this meeting. How you lived your life. For the child of God, we'll give an account to God. How we served Him. How we loved Christ. But the unsaved will give an account why they rejected Him. Why you chose sin. You see, dear friends, there are days in the Bible that God has made. But I'm glad He's made the day of salvation. This day is all the work of the Lord. And to do this, He had two things. He sent the light. I see it over in Genesis 1. God's going to make the first natural day, and God looks upon all the darkness, and God says, well, let there be light. If I'm going to make a day, there has to be light. And He sent the light. And dear friends, when God's going to make a day of salvation, we see here that He did this. He sent the light. He sent Christ. The Lord Jesus says in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. It says in Matthew 4 and verse 16, the people were set in darkness, they saw a great light. Speaking about the ministry of Christ and the presence of Christ. And when the Lord Jesus came among them, the people, they saw this great light. You see, God, to make the world, He sent one who was the light of the world. He sent the light. Remember, the Scripture tells us in 1 John 1 and verse 5, this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. There's no darkness in Christ. You see, friend, there's no sin in Christ. But I can say to this morning to all of us, we're so different. We're sinful. We're full of darkness. There's people today here loves darkness rather than light. There's people here following the prince of darkness. There's people here this morning and they're not saved, and you're heading to eternal darkness. Let there be light, and God sent the light. You and I have sinned against God and failed Him, but not Christ. Take a look at His life. Examine His whole life. No sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to every word the Lord Jesus spoke. Ah, friends, there's no sin in Christ. There's no darkness in Christ. He is light. He is the light of the world. Remember, He challenged the old Jews in John 8, verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? Not a clear statement. That was a clear question to these Jews. They're always harping on at Christ, always criticizing Christ. Ah, He stopped them in their tracks, and He says, right, which one of you? Which one of you's rabbis? Which one of you scribes? Which one of you's men convinces me of sin? Which one can see sin in my life? And there wasn't one. You see, friends, there's no darkness in Christ. They were speechless. God, to make this day, oh, my friends, He sent the light. And Christ is the light. And He came from heaven down into this world because He's going to make this day of salvation. Well, as I said, you need something else to make a day. You need darkness. And oh, dear friends, that's where the cross comes in. The darkness. If you know, as we read the Word of God, it tells us in Matthew 27 and the verse 45, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Now it tells us that something happened when Christ, the Son of God, came into the world and went to the cross and He died upon the cross. It tells us that there was darkness. And for 3 hours the darkness overcame the land. It was a thick darkness. And darkness fell upon the city of Jerusalem. And darkness fell upon the land. And darkness fell upon Christ. You see, dear friends, a lot of things happened in that darkness. What was going on? Look at verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5. We can see something. What was taking place? It tells us here that for he hath made him, that's Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Here's something happened. Christ was made sin for us. He never sinned. But he was made sin. In other words, he became our substitute. In other words, he took our sins upon his own body upon the tree, and he went to the cross willingly to die upon the cross and to endure the wrath of God. And that's what Christ did. He took our place. He took our punishment. He took our wrath that would surely fall upon us for our sin, and he died in our place, and darkness came over him. And darkness came around the cross, my friends. And darkness filled the city, and darkness filled the land. What was happening? God was creating the day of salvation. You can't create a day without darkness. No words of mine can tell you this morning and this afternoon what Christ suffered. But I can say to you, he suffered greatly. And I can say to you that the wrath of God fell upon Christ, that it caused him to cry out from the death of his soul, my God, why has thou forsaken me? His Father turned his face away as Christ, in all his love and mercy, he hung upon the cross and shed his blood. Oh, friends, what's he doing? He's dying for our sins. He's creating the day of salvation. There was light. There was darkness. And Christ suffered in our place. The story told about a young man in the French Revolution who was condemned to die by the guillotine. He was shut up in one of the prisons. But you know, his father really loved him. His father was there the day of execution, and the name was called of the fellow, but his father had the same name. And he got up and he went to the place of execution, and he had his head cut off, and he took his place. You know, that's only a little illustration, a substitution. But you know, that's what Christ has done. He took our place. What does that mean to you? Does it mean anything to you in the meeting this morning? Or is your heart hard against the gospel of Christ? Do you not think about the man of sorrows? Do you not think about Christ and his love and his mercy? Come into the world to die for sinners. Oh, dear friend, it says at Genesis 1, God saw that it was good. And you see, when Christ died upon the cross and he shed his blood and the sacrifice was offered unto God, God saw that it was good. He saw it was good. The day of salvation was created. You see, dear friends, this is the chiefest of the Lord's days. In Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Imagine coming here to church today and I can say to you, there's no salvation. There's no mercy. If I can say to everyone here, I want to say there's no hope. What a terrible church service we would have. But listen, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we can come to the house of God and we can rejoice in this wonderful, in this great day of salvation. You see, the creation of this day, God has made it. God has made the day of salvation. All because he loves us, all because of his mercy, and all because of his grace. Dear friends, God has created. He has created the day of salvation. I want you to speak about the claim of the day, not only creation of the day. If you look in the verse, you'll see there's two beholds, and you'll see there's two nows. It says, behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So here's the claim of this day. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the glorious message of the gospel. That people can be saved now. That people can come to Christ now. That you can get your sins forgiven now. She friends, the present tense. This is the day of salvation. We see this in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinners can come to Christ now. Does the Lord Jesus not say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ calls people to come to him. What's he saying? He's saying, come now. It's a day of salvation. Think of that great invitation that's found in the prophet of Isaiah, in Isaiah 1 verse 18. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But notice what God is saying. Come now. Come now. I know all about your sins. They're like scarlet. I know all about your sins. They're red like crimson. He knows all about them. But God says here, come now and let us reason together. Here's the words of our Savior. He says, come to me and I will save you. Do you feel, dear friends, your sin this morning? You say, oh well, they are like crimson. They are like scarlet. I have sinned greatly against the Lord. Listen, the good news is this. It's a day of salvation. And come now. The Lord Jesus said in John 6 verse 37, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He will not cast you out. He will not close the door, my friends, in your face. He will take you in. Oh, if you come to him just the way you are and turn from your wickedness. And turn from your sins. Of Lord Jesus, I want you to save me. I want you to cleanse me. I want you, Lord, to give me everlasting life. Lord, forgive me. They'll take you in. You see, dear friends, it is the day of salvation. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I say to you today, there's the words of the Savior. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And come now to the Lord Jesus. And he'll take you in. See, now is the day of salvation. Think also about the day of salvation. We can see it in the present tense because of the work of the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us, and the Lord Jesus tells us, that he sent his Spirit into the world. Now, the Spirit of God has come in to do a number of duties. But one of his duties is recorded in John 16 and verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And it tells us here about the work of the Spirit of God. He convicts people of their sin. He convicts them of judgment, and of righteousness. In other words, he convicts people that they have sinned against God. That they have broken his laws. That they are under God's wrath, you see. And the Spirit of God is working in hearts today. And he's convicting people about their sin. About the judgment of come. And the righteousness that's found in Christ. Because it's the day of salvation. The day of salvation, the Spirit of God is working. And maybe there's someone in the meeting and you say, no, the Lord has been working in my heart. You know, I come to church and I'm greatly disturbed. Oh, I'm a smile to my family. I'm a smile to my friends. I may go on in my sin. I may go on in my world. But when I go home at night, I'm convicted about my sin. I know I'm not right in the sight of God. Listen, that's the Spirit of God working. You see, it's a day of salvation. And his duty is to convict people. And to draw them, and to enlighten them, and to show them their sin, and to show them the judgment to come, and to show them the way of salvation, and to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, it is a day of salvation. We see this to do with the work of the Spirit of God. We see this in relation to the wickedness of the sinner as well, because the sinners can claim the need for salvation. When do you need salvation? Well, you need it today. You need salvation today. Some people say, well, you know, when I get older, I'll maybe get right with God. I mean to get right. When I go on, maybe coming towards the end of my life, I'll seek God. Listen, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next month. You see, now is the day of salvation, because the one who's unsaved, they need salvation now. Do you need forgiveness? Now. Do you need the Lord Jesus Christ? Now. You are condemned? Now. And therefore you need a Savior in this particular moment. Now is the day of salvation because of the wickedness of the sinner. See in John 3 verse 18, it says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." So you have to, some people think that you have to go to judgment and you'll stand before God and then the Lord will weigh up the good and the bad and you may get into heaven, you may be cast out. Listen, if you're not saved, you're condemned already. It's where you sit in this meeting. It's where you sit. You go home and sit in your table and eat your dinner and you're not saved. Condemned already. You go home at the end of this night and you put your head on the pillow. The sign from God upon your head, my friends, and upon your bed. Condemned already. And that's why now is accept the time. Now is the day of salvation. You need salvation today. You need it now. You need cleansing. You need forgiveness. You need Christ. Oh, friends, because of the wickedness of the sinner, the day of salvation is here. God has created this day whereby people can turn and be saved. Think about the witness of the Scriptures as well. You see, Luke chapter 19 tells about a man up a tree, Zacchaeus, without turning to the passage. A man of wickedness. A man of deceit. A man who told lies. A man who's far away from God. But it tells us the Lord Jesus Christ was passing by. And he got up onto the tree and he saw Jesus and the Lord Jesus came and the Lord Jesus says, "Make haste to come down. For today I must abide in thy house." And he came down and he took the Lord Jesus Christ home and he was saved. You know what the Lord Jesus says in that particular passage? "This day is salvation come to this house." This day is salvation come to this. In a moment he was saved. He was forgiven. He received Christ. And the Lord saved them. Romans 10 verse 13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Oh, call now and you'll be saved. Come to Christ and you'll be accepted. Repent from sin and trust Him. And He will give you everlasting life. See, now is the day of salvation. Here's the message of the Bible. You can be saved today. You can receive everlasting life today. You can receive His righteousness today. Remember the text we read together? In verse 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You can be made righteous today. You can get your sins forgiven. The Lord said to that woman who bowed his feet in Luke 7, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," in a moment, today. Oh, today, Apostle Paul could preach then with great confidence. He could preach this message to people. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Oh, the promise of salvation was before the people. What a privilege it is to be living in the day of salvation. And what a privilege it is for you. My dear friends, the claim of this day is now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation. In this place, you can be saved. Not good news. You know, there's no message like the message of the gospel. You can be delivered now. You can come to Christ now. You can be saved now. And all your sins, which are so many, that's dragging you down towards hell, can all be washed away now. No other religion in the world has a message like that. It's all do this and do that and do this and do that. But it is done. Christ has redeemed us by His blood and He has shed His blood and He can save. You come and trust Him now and He'll save you. All the creation of this day and the claim of this day. Now is the day of salvation. There's hope for you. If you feel within your breast there's no hope, there's no mercy for me. Listen. Now is the day of salvation. Come with all your fears. Come and trust Christ and He'll save you. Think about the conclusion of this day of salvation. We had to see this very solemn truth that the day of salvation will come to an end. Do not see even this with other days with our natural eye. School days come to an end. Sometimes we couldn't wait, but you know they came to an end. The days of our youth, for many of us, they've come to an end. There's people and days of health and strength. Things have changed. So all them days have come to an end. Dear friends, so it will be with this day. This day will come to an end. The Lord Jesus speaks about His work in John 9 verse 4. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The Lord is saying about this day of preaching, the gospel age, the gospel day of opportunity, the day of salvation. The Lord is saying, the night cometh when no man can work. Listen, there'll be no more preaching. There'll be no more invitations. There'll be no more opportunities for those who are in sin to come to Jesus Christ. The day is coming to an end. The night cometh when no man can work. No more missions. No more appeals. No more seeking to win the lost. The day will come to an end. And that's solemn. We see something of that illustrated for us in the parable in Matthew 13, verse 41. Here's the end of the day in the words of Christ, not my words. He says in Matthew 13, verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Here's the Lord telling us about the end of this day. The Lord's going to come and gather out of His kingdom all those who do iniquity and that offend, and cast them from His presence, and cast them into fire. And the righteous shall be gathered, and they shall be brought into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, dear friends, here's the day of separation. Here's the end of this day of salvation by Christ. I said to you, where will you be? In which group will you be? The day is coming fast to an end, you see. Oh, dear friends, the conclusion of this day. Christ will come in His power and His glory and His majesty, and He will close this day of salvation, and it's too late. The day will end. The day of grace and the day of opportunity will fast come to an end, and it's too late. And you can read there in the gospel of people knocking the door, and they're saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But it's too late. The day of opportunity is over. And friends, are you going to let the day of salvation pass you by? Are you going to close your heart to Christ? Are you going to go after the things of the world? Would you not trust them? The day of salvation can end with death. When you die, the day of salvation has come to an end. And there's people dying all the time. I read there one day in the book, a man was saying, I don't know whether it was correct, but he said that three people were dying every second. I once heard one time it was two, but he brought out there were three. Amazing. Just says two. Every second. Two people just dropped dead in the world. And friends, when you die, it's the end. The day of salvation has come to a close for you. Oh, you must be saved. Oh, I know you say, well, I trust to come to Christ. I trust to make my peace with God. But the Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for I knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. You see, today is the day of salvation. The day will come to an end. Can you see by the words here, even of our text, that there's danger and death and delay? To go on without Christ, terrible thing. Why would you go on? Why would you run after sin? Tell me, why? What is it about the Lord Jesus Christ you don't like? What is it? Whatever do to offend you? Why would you not come and trust Him? He loves sinners and He calls us to come and to trust Him. He has died for sinners. He has shed His blood in order to bring us back to God. Why would you not come to Christ? In verse 20 of chapter 5, He says, "We beseech you, be reconciled to God." And we this morning would say to you, be reconciled to God and come and trust Christ with all of your heart. He will save it. He will give you everlasting life. Listen, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know what you're saying? You're saying tomorrow. You're saying in your heart some other time. Read the verse. Read it. What does God say? Behold, now. Is this your last opportunity? Is God speaking to your heart? Are you going to cast it to the one side? Now is the day of salvation. Turn now to Christ. There's no easier time than now. You go home, you forget about the message. You'll do something else. You'll go somewhere. You'll get into work tomorrow and you'll forget all about God and forget all about Christ. Listen, friends, now is the day of salvation. He'll save you now. He'll forgive you now. He'll cleanse you now. He'll bring you into the family of God. Now, behold, now. Would you come now? Trust Him. Maybe God has spoken to your heart. Would you like to be saved? Speak with me at the door. Maybe you don't need me, but that's okay. Speak to some of your friends. But I'm willing to help anyone this morning that you'll come to Christ now. Would you come and trust Him now? I trust the Lord will give you the grace to turn from sin and receive His wonderful gift of salvation that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou would bless the foolishness of preaching to the salvation of souls. We thank You for the message in the Bible. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Lord, there's a day coming when the sinner will not be accepted. He will want to be accepted, but it's too late. We pray You'll burn that upon their hearts. And we pray that You'll visit this congregation with salvation. We have quoted about the days of Zacchaeus, about how salvation came to his house. Oh Lord, let Your salvation come to this house, this day, in this place. Bless Your word to all of our hearts. Take us our separate ways, Lord, to our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' great name. Amen.